Welcome to the Urban Highlights Podcast. We're glad to have you back. Today we have another fascinating city for you, filled with plenty of facts and curious stories. We are diving deep into Berlin, Germany's pulsating capital. We're going to try and move beyond, the easy assumptions to really get a feel for its complex, layered identity. We took your stack of sources, articles, histories, economic reports, and sort of synthesize them.
Yeah, the idea is to give you a shortcut to being genuinely well-informed about this, well, incredible place.
Exactly, because it's not just a political center. It's really a cultural laboratory, a global melting pot, and honestly, one of Europe's most important economic engines right now.
That's right. Our mission today really is to immerse you in Berlin. Oh. We'll start from its foundational geography. And yeah, the literal swamp it was built on, right up to its modern-day role as this nexus of history and explosive innovation.
We want you to walk away understanding that central paradox of Berlin. How a city so scarred by the 20th century became synonymous with, well, radical freedom and creativity in the 21st. Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the sheer scale. Berlin is Germany's behemoth, right? The largest city in the country.
By far.
Currently home to roughly 3.8 million people as of 2025. And it sprawls across 891 square kilometers.
Which, as you said, gives it a surprisingly low population density for a European capital.
Yeah, feels quite spacious in parts.
And that low density, it connects directly to its origins. The sources remind us that the very name Berlin likely derives from the Slavic word burl, meaning swamp or maybe marsh.
Right, burl, swamp.
Yeah. Imagine the effort required back then to turn a collection of wetlands and waterways into a center of global power. That initial adversity, that fight against the environment, it almost seems baked into the city's character somehow.
You mentioned it's not dense, and I think that's because it's really a collection of 12 incredibly diverse administrative districts. It's definitely not a single monolith.
No, not at all. And that's key to understanding its energy.
You have the rapid urban intensity and political gravity of Mitte, where you find all the major institutions. But contrast that immediately with the radical, artistic, often kind of anti-establishment creative flair of Friedrichshain-Kreuzberg.
Totally different world.
Exactly.
And then you venture west and south to districts like Steglitz-Zehlendorf, which offer those green oases, these huge lakes, and a much more affluent, quiet, almost suburban feel.
Yeah, very residential.
Understanding Berlin means realizing it's this constellation of 12 distinct neighborhoods that were frankly only forcibly mashed together over time. Each one still has its unique accent and history.
What's fascinating here, though, is how quickly Berlin went from being, like you said, twin swamp villages to an imperial capital.
Quite the trajectory.
We trace its formal municipal origins back to the 13th century. That's when the settlements of Berlin and Cologne were first documented. And then just a few hundred years later, boom, it's the powerhouse of Prussia.
And that upward trajectory just kept going. It quickly cemented its position as the royal residence city, becoming the capital metropole of the unified German Empire in 1871.
But the defining feature of Berlin's history, I think, is volatility. It wasn't a smooth ride.
Oh, definitely not.
The 19th century brought rapid industrialization, which completely reshaped the city, only to be followed by the political and social upheaval of the Revolution of 1848.
Right. And then came the volatile Weimar Republic, which was this period of intense artistic and intellectual flowering. I mean, incredible stuff happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it just dissolved into the dark years of the mid-20th century.
Right.
The sources really emphasize that the devastating impact of World War II and then the subsequent four-power occupation led directly to the ultimate symbol of division, the Berlin Wall, erected in 1961.
And that physical division, it didn't just split a city. It basically crystallized the Cold War for the entire world.
It became the focal point.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The figures associated with the city, they represent this historical drama perfectly. We're talking about the imperial ambition of Kaiser Wilhelm II, the scientific brilliance of Albert Einstein, the cultural resistance embodied by someone like Marlene Dietrich.
A true icon.
And the sheer moral force of statesmen like Willy Brandt, who, famously knelt at the Warsaw Ghetto Memorial. Powerful moments.
And the power of memory is just tangible there. It's everywhere. That's why your sources highlight the global resonance of the wall's fall in 1989 and the reunification that followed.
Huge.
It signaled not just the end of a physical barrier, but really the beginning of a whole new geopolitical era. The past isn't tucked away in Berlin. It is the landscape.
You absolutely feel that when you visit the major memorials. The Holocaust Memorial, with its vast, uneven field of concrete stelae, it's designed to be disorienting, you know? You have to experience it personally.
It's very effective.
Likewise, the Berlin Wall Memorial preserves sections of the actual structure, forcing you into a confrontation with that period of history.
It's a city that continuously uses architecture and public space almost like a curriculum. It's teaching you constantly.
Okay, now let's pivot a bit. From trauma to creation, which seems to be how the city regenerates itself, Berlin has this unparalleled international reputation as a stage for art and ideas.
Absolutely. Central to this is the Museum Sinsel, or Museum Island. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Right.
And it's essentially five world-class museums just clustered together. You've got the breathtaking collections of the Pergamon Museum and the Altnational Gallery, among others.
And that contrast between old and new, it's literally built into the skyline. Architecture here is this constant dialogue between history and democracy.
That's a great way to put it.
You can stand at the Brandenburg Gate, you know, the symbol of Prussian triumph and then later division, and immediately look toward the Reichstag, the Parliament building, with its modern glass dome.
Designed by Norman Foster.
Right. And that dome, it's a deliberate symbol of government transparency, contrasting so sharply with the city's more opaque past.
It is. It invites you in, visually.
And if you're looking for that unique Berliner Lebensgefühl, that specific way of life, the cultural scene really delivers all year round. We're talking about the Berlinale.
Huge film festival.
One of the top-tier international film festivals, yeah. Then there's the vibrant street parties of the Carnival of Cultures and the really popular Long Night of the Museums, where thousands explore the collections after dark.
And culture is definitely consumed there. The culinary mix reflects Berlin's migratory history perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So while German staples like currywurst, that iconic sausage with the curried ketchup.
Gotta have the currywurst.
You really do. And the Berliner Pfannkuchen, which is basically a jam-filled donut.
A Berliner.
Exactly, a Berliner. They remain essential. But the truly defining food of modern Berlin, many would argue, is the Döner Kebab.
Which, as your sources point out, is such an essential part of the Berlin story. It was popularized there by Turkish immigrants, right?
That's the story, yes. And it's now this ubiquitous, often really high-quality street food. It just illustrates the profound international influences on the city's daily diet.
Absolutely. And while the Döner represents one layer of multiculturalism, you go to newer, maybe more gentrified areas like Prenzlauer Berg, and they showcase the rise of the modern international food scene.
Oh, yeah. Some of the most innovative vegan and vegetarian restaurants in Europe are probably there.
It's amazing. This juxtaposition shows a city that's simultaneously honoring tradition and just completely embracing the cutting edge.
That vibrancy really fuels the daily tempo.
Mm.
The city is defined by this dense urban pace, high multiculturalism, and yet this peculiar blend of creativity and casualness, what locals affectionately call lockerheit.
Lockerheit, yeah. Looseness, casualness.
Kind of. It's a lack of pretension, maybe. It often surprises visitors who expect the formality sometimes associated with Germany's economic power.
Right, it's not stiff.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And that lockerheit, it might even be a historical necessity, a way to move forward after all that devastation without being weighed down by rigid social expectations.
Makes sense.
It makes the city incredibly welcoming to outsiders. And while High German is the standard, of course, the local Berlinerisch dialect, known for its specific inflection and vocabulary.
The Berlin snout.
Huh, yeah, the Berliner schnauz. It still persists in older neighborhoods, adding to that authentic, localized flavor.
And the city's future is constantly being refreshed by its massive academic ecosystem. It just draws students and researchers globally. Institutions like the Humboldt Universität and the Freie Universität are world-renowned.
Absolutely. This constant influx of talent is crucial. It feeds not just the cultural scene, but the economic engine, too.
And when it comes to recreation, the city is surprisingly active. The passion for football, particularly Hertha BSC, is enormous.
Big club feel.
Yeah. They host major international running events like the Berlin Marathon, which really showcases the city's flat, accessible layout, perfect for running.
And that accessibility pays off in infrastructure generally. The cycling culture here is intense, supported by extensive paths.
Definitely noticeable. Lots of bikes.
And remember that swampy beginning. It resulted in plenty of surrounding water-large lakes and rivers, providing excellent access for urban recreation, everything from public swimming pools to sailing clubs.
Okay, let's shift focus a bit to the economic reality, because this is where that Lockerheit and the innovation really collide, isn't it?
It really is. Modern Berlin is a dominant economic center, especially for services, media, and technology. We're talking about global players like the industrial giant Siemens.
Still has a huge presence.
The fashion e-commerce leader Zalando, which started there, and Deutsche Bahn, the national rail operator, headquartered there.
But the real story, lately anyway, is its designation as the Startup Hauptstadt Europas, the startup capital of Europe.
Mm-hmm, that's the buzzword.
And this didn't happen by accident, did it? Post-reunification, the city offered all this cheap, massive industrial space in the former East.
Right, that's empty buildings.
Combined with this magnet effect for creative, affordable talent from all over the world, plus government investment in tech infrastructure, it was kind of a perfect storm.
It was. It's a symbiotic relationship. That concentration of creative talent at low initial overhead allowed innovative tech and creative projects to just flourish. Companies today are actively shaping the city's identity, moving it from primarily a historical landmark to a genuinely future-forward hub for global innovation.
And this forward motion is supported by famously efficient infrastructure. The public transport system is incredibly comprehensive. You've got the U-Bahn, the subway.
Yellow trains.
The S-Bahn, the suburban rail, streetcars, buses. This network ensures that, you know, 3.8 million people can actually move around effectively.
And that system is constantly being supplemented by modern options, like those extensive bike paths you mentioned, and the proliferation of e-scooter services everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere now.
Plus, international connectivity is anchored by the modern Berlin-Brandenburg Airport, BER, finally open, making the city easily accessible from pretty much anywhere.
And as the capital, Berlin is, of course, the crucial seat of the federal government and the Bundestag. It's the political epicenter of Germany.
No question.
Its global role is formalized through an extensive network of partner cities, Paris, London, Moscow, Istanbul, demonstrating its central and maybe bridging role on the world stage.
But let's not forget the crucial paradox we touched on. How can such a dense capital remain so livable? Your sources really emphasize that Berlin is surprisingly green.
It really is. It's defined by the major rivers, the Spree and the Havel, and these large, beautiful recreational lakes like the Wannsee.
Lovely spot, Wannsee.
So challenge the image of just concrete everywhere. Nearly 30% of the city area is actually green space or water. Key recreational areas include the massive urban forest of the Tiergarten.
Right in the middle.
The popular Volkspark Friedrichshain, and the globally unique space of the Tempelhofer Feld.
Ah, Tempelhof.
Yeah.
That's maybe the best example of Berlin's ethos. It's a former airport, right? Now a massive public park.
Incredible space.
Instead of selling the land for development, the city voted overwhelmingly to keep it open as this huge public communal space for biking, grilling, just enjoying the sheer expanse. It is urban reuse on an absolutely enormous scale.
And this isn't just accidental greenness. It feels like it's by design now. The city has strong commitments to sustainability, promoting urban gardens, prioritizing bicycle friendliness, and implementing environment-focused city planning efforts aimed at carbon neutrality.
Which raises an important question. What happens when a city that is so globally political is also so domestically quirky?
We have to end with those fun details, right? The things that make Berlin truly memorable.
The hidden Berlins, yeah. There's a deep fascination with abandoned structures there. Think of the famous Spree Park amusement park, which has become this spooky symbol of the past.
Definitely got that eerie vibe.
Or the exploration of Berlin's extensive Unterwelten, those underground tours of hidden bunkers, tunnels, and old air raid shelters. Fascinating stuff down there. And of course, the city holds some pretty cool records. The East Side Gallery, that preserved painted section of the wall, confirmed as the largest open-air gallery in the world.
Wow, the largest.
It also apparently has the longest currywurst counter on record.
Of course it does.
And its U-Bahn system is the oldest in Germany, started way back.
Its modern cultural relevance is massive too, serving as this magnificent backdrop for film and television. From the poignant comedy Goodbye, Lenin, which dealt so cleverly with reunification.
Great film.
To the epic period drama Babylon Berlin, the city just knows how to use its past to tell compelling stories on screen.
Absolutely. Even local traditions, like the Maibaum Aufstellen, the annual maypole raising, they manage to link the city's deep cultural history to its present-day, very diverse community life. They celebrate tradition with a very modern Berlin spin.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've looked at a city that endured some of the absolute deepest historical scars of the 20th century, war, division, revolution, you name it. How does a place like Berlin manage to maintain its reputation for radical creativity, for entrepreneurial success, and that essential sense of Lockerheit, that looseness and anti-establishment energy in our modern digital 21st century?
That really is the ultimate tension that defines this capital, I think. You have to consider the challenging balance required to be both the startup capital of Europe, focused entirely on future economic growth and innovation,
right,
while simultaneously being the primary caretaker of major historical and political memory. That constant negotiation between past gravity and future momentum, well, that's the essential Berlin experience right there.
Thank you for tuning in again. I really appreciate your comments and subscriptions to this channel. It helps us a lot. Be sure to tell your friends about this podcast and share it on the social media platforms you use. Thanks, and see you next time.